A few years back, there's a movie called Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. How many have seen that? Have you seen that? I heard somebody say today they just watched it for the first time. In the movie, there was a search for the Holy Grail, or the special supposed cup that Jesus drank from. And in the movie, Indiana Jones, crawls through a small opening in the side of a cliff and enters kind of a temple. And there are a vast array of cups or chalices on an altar, perhaps 100 or more, many sizes and shapes, some gold, some silver, some stoneware, and they all glitter and shine. And Indy is mesmerized by them, and then he realizes a man praying by the altar, and the man is a knight there to protect the holy cup for many years, and they speak a bit. And then a man and woman who are enemy enter as well. They are also seeking the holy cup. They demand that the knight tell them which is the cup of Christ, for it is said that whoever drinks from that cup receives special blessings, maybe even eternal life. And the knight says, "You must choose, but choose wisely. For as a true grail cup will bring you life, the false one will take it from you." The enemy goes around and chooses a solid gold cup with emeralds, saying, "Oh yes, it's more beautiful than I'd ever imagined. This certainly is a cup of the King of Kings." He rushes and fills a goblet of water, proclaims eternal life. He drinks and quickly begins to age until he turns to dust. And the knight says, "He chose poorly." Indy studies the array of cups for himself, and he picks up a simple earthenware cup. That's the cup, he said, of a carpenter. He runs and fills that cup with water, and he drinks, and as the water goes down into his body, he feels peace and contentment. And the knight says, "You have chosen wisely." I just like you to see the clip real quick here.
"You chose poor."
"It would not be made out of gold."
"That's the cup of a carpenter."
"He chose poorly, you have chosen wisely." Today we come to the final chapter in our study through Joshua. As we come to this final scene, we find Israel really physically and spiritually strong. They had defeated their enemies, were enjoying all that God had promised them in the promised land. Things couldn't have been better. It was a time of hope and prosperity and blessing unending. But it was also a very dangerous time for the people of Israel. Would they forget where they came from? Would they forget what the Lord had done for them? Would they forget what blessings they had had? Would they take it all for granted and lower their values? Would they fall into a state of complacency? These were true promised land concerns. So Joshua gives them a challenge. He knew his people very well. In this, his final speech before his death, he wants to challenge God's people of Israel. He wants to challenge them to make wise choices today and every day and for the rest of their existence. And if they made wise choices, they would continue to enjoy God's favor and blessings. If they made poor choices, they would lose God's favor and blessing, and judgment would come upon them. Either way, the choice was up to the people, each and every one of them. Joshua's challenge is also our challenge. Every church, every Christian, and every generation needs to hear the same challenge from Joshua. To this day, your choices determine whether you will enjoy or lose God's favor and blessing, his joy or his judgment. To this day, God's people in every church need to hear the same challenge, to be a church that chooses wisely, to honor God with his word and will, and continue to experience God's favor and blessing, or to become a church that chooses poorly, to disregard God and his word and his will, and experience God's removed favor and blessing and his judgment. That sounds pretty serious, because it is. The choices of God's people of Israel was a serious subject to God. And our everyday choices as individuals and as a church are just as serious before the same God who never changes today. And just as God issued a challenge through Joshua all the centuries ago for his people to make wise and not poor choices, so he issues the same call to all of us to this day. Let's go for a few moments this morning to look into these verses and hear the challenge that is always before the people of God. It says in verse 1 that Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. If you remember from last week, Joshua is about 110 years old. It's been about 25 years since God divided the raging waters of the Jordan River for his people to cross into the promised land for the first time. And after that time came miraculous conquering of the mighty fortress of Jericho by God's having the wall just fall down flat. And then even though there were many times of a few sins and correction, God continued to be faithful and led them victoriously for those 25 years of defeating enemy after enemy until all the promised land was now theirs. And the last two chapters of Joshua describe the messages that Joshua delivers to the people of God. And last week we studied chapter 24, where Joshua began to share some timeless advice with God's people then and now. And now in 24, he is sharing his final words of challenge for his people. And he calls all the tribes of Israel and the leaders, the elders, the heads, the judges, the officials to assemble. And he lays before all an overview of God's faithfulness to his people Israel over the past, the present, many, many years. I want you to notice Joshua addresses the people. He begins with the pronoun I, as if God himself is speaking to them. And God is speaking, basically saying, remember. You've heard this earlier in the Joshua series. Remember. It says in verse 2, and Joshua said to the people, thus says the Lord of Israel, God speaking, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess, and Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in its midst, and afterwards I brought you out. When I brought your ancestors out of Egypt, you came to the sea. Remember the Red Sea? And the Egyptians pursued your ancestors with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. When they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and made the sea come upon them and cover them. And your eyes saw what I did to Egypt. Afterwards, you lived in the wilderness a long time. Then I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived on the other side of the Jordan. They fought with you and I handed them over to you. And you took possession of their land and I destroyed them before you. Then King Balak, son of Zippor of Moab, set out to fight against Israel. He sent and invited Balaam, son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam, therefore he blessed you. So I rescued you out of his hand. When you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho, the citizens of Jericho fought against you, and also the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I handed them over to you. I sent the hornets ahead of you, which drove out before you the two kings of the Amorites. It was not by your sword or by your bow. And here 13, where they are now. I gave you a land on which you have not labored, and towns that you have not built, and you live in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive lands that you did not plant. Wow. What a history to hear God say about a lesson, a reminder from God that I want you to remember who I am and what I've done for you, how I have been faithful to you. Remember all that I, the Lord God, have done for you as a people, from your original ancestors and even up until now. From Abraham's parents, he started, to Abraham's offspring that formed a mighty nation of Israel. I delivered you from slavery out of Pharaoh through the devastating plagues. I released you. I parted the Red Sea for you to cross safely, then drowned the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. I provided and protected you through two 40-year experience wanderings. And then I brought you to where you are now. And all these victories are behind you. And I have shown my faithfulness to you. I love that 13. This is all because you didn't do it, but I did it. He's saying, my people of Israel, have you forgotten? Do you remember? I have been your faithful God since I created your lineage as my people. I have cared for you, led you, delivered you, and provided for you. I have done great miracles and supernatural wonders for you. I have also forgiven you, restored you, and always, always been faithful to you. And I have done it all for you, to bless you as my people of Israel. Do you remember? People of Pathways Baptist Church, do you remember God's faithfulness in your past? Personally, as you look back over your life, do you remember God's long line of faithfulness and provision, and his many, many blessings? How he has loved you and blessed you and provided for you and forgiven you and restored you. Do you remember? As two churches and now one, do we remember God's long line of faithfulness and his many, many blessings? How he has loved us and blessed us and provided for us and brought us together. Do we remember how faithful our Lord God is? Has been and is to us. How faithful to us personally. How faithful to us as this church. God is good all the time. And what should the response be to such a faithful God? To forget his faithfulness? And to respond in indifference and in disregard? Or to treasure his faithfulness? And respond in appreciation, return faithfulness to him who deserves it so much. Indifference to his faithfulness or returned faithfulness. That's why verse 14 follows. His response is about now and therefore. With all this in mind, now therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods of your ancestors, serve beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. With your mind, memories, and heart filled with remembering God's faithfulness, now therefore revere the Lord. Honor him. Respect him. Let your response to God and his faithfulness to you be one of remembering and thankfulness. It's a choice. Do I choose to remember and remember I need to be faithful to a God that's so faithful to me? Or do I instead respond with saying, I'm indifferent, disregard, I'm not going to remember. I got here on my own. All these blessings are all mine. I just came upon them. Now, therefore, though, revere the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. The word sincerity there, to serve him with sincerity, there's a Greek word about it that means without wax. Seems a little odd. Back in that day when they would make a pottery vessel, sometimes they didn't do a good job or they'd use cheaper material or older clay. and there would be cracks in the pottery. So instead of doing it right, they would take wax and they would put it on the vessel inside and outside of it and shine it up and fill in the cracks and color it a little bit, and it would look like it was fine. Until you would take it home and put something in it, especially something warm, and the wax would start to compromise and the pot would start to leak. The modern version of that would be a hypocrite, a mask wearer, a falsehood. And he's saying, we need to serve the Lord not in saying, Lord, I really love you, but then we're really not living like we love him. There are cracks in that kind of a confession. But when there was a pot that was known to be done properly, they would stamp on the bottom, with a stamp meaning no wax, quality. He's saying we should do that in our lives. We should say, without wax. There's no wax here, Lord. I am sincere about this. Serve him without wax, in sincerity, in faithfulness. Lord, please, let me show you a pure heart and really love you. I'm not putting on any show, Lord. I really love you. I'm really thankful, and I'm going to live to show that. There's no guile here. There's no wax here. It's true. And then he hits the big verse in 15. Joshua 24, 15, choose. He says in 15, now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether your gods, your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. So Joshua, in his last words of the people of Israel, are calling them to choose. To choose who they will serve. To serve may seem strange to us, but the truth is that whatever or whoever you choose to love and commit to in your life, you will serve them. They will have demands of your allegiance, but be careful, any other god will demand everything and give you nothing in return. Remember the commandment when God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He really was saying, there are no other gods before me. There are no gods. They don't even exist. You can worship this microphone, but it's not a god. It doesn't exist. So don't worship the no gods. They will give you nothing. So choose who and what you will serve. Choose to give your whole heart, body, and soul to the Lord God. And well, he gives them some options. He says in 14, they could choose to serve the gods from way before Abraham, the gods of Abraham's parents beyond the river, those false Babylonian gods that in the original ancestors had before the one true God began bringing them together as a nation. Or they could choose to serve the gods of Egypt, the gods of the Nile, the land, and the sky, like Ra, the sun god. Remember them? And remember what they did to protect Pharaoh? No, the one true God is the one that delivered them. In verse 15, it says they could choose to serve the local gods, the ones that were all around them still, because there were still people around them that were not of the one true God. Fertility gods who were worshipped by cultic prostitution. Or they could choose to serve the one eternal and true God. The God who had made Israel into a people, the God who had given them his word, the God who Joshua had reminded them had been ever faithful to them, and the only God who actually had shown up to do anything for them. The God who had brought them out of Egypt and established them now in their own promised land. These are the choices that Joshua gave to the Hebrew people. And Joshua was saying, you have to choose. But remember, this is an exclusive choice. God will tolerate no rivals. A choice to follow him, to serve him, is an exclusive choice. Today we have the same challenge to choose. What other false gods compete with the one true God in our lives? To choose a replacement God is to choose to replace the one true God with something or someone else. Where else or to whom else do we choose to offer our best time and energy and attention? What preoccupies or rules your heart, your thoughts, your time? What compels you? What controls you? What drives you? What motivates you? To what does your heart cling? What takes first place when it comes to your schedule? What gives you a sense of worth, a sense of identity? What do family or close friends think is the God of your life, if asked? If you were to ask them, what's the most important thing in their life, what would it be? What or who do you choose to worship with your whole heart? Joshua says in the last part of that verse 15, but as for me and my household, go ahead, we will serve the Lord. He makes it very clear where his choice is. But as for me, you could break this verse down into a number of messages. But as for me, any decision to follow God in a home, in a relationship, anywhere, begins with each one of us individually. He says, as for me, first, before he goes to his household, as for me. Beginning a relationship with God through receiving Christ and then deciding to follow and serve Jesus is an individual decision. If you've never accepted Christ or received Christ in your heart as your Savior, please remember this. It's your choice. You have that call out from God's love and the sacrifice of His Son. God has done everything He can to reach out to us. And no one can pray you into heaven. No one can put in a good word for you in heaven. You can't get into heaven by somebody else's faith. Your devoted Christian mother, father, and grandfather, and grandmother can't get you into heaven. No one was born for you for your physical faith, your physical birth, and no one can be born for your spiritual birth. You must come to Christ. You must invite Christ into your heart by yourself to have your sins forgiven, to have your sins cleansed, for you to be born anew as God's child, for you to have God as your eternal Father, for you to know that you have heaven as your home with your eternal Father. You must choose individually to invite Christ into your heart by yourself. He says, as for me and my household. When you have decided to invite Christ into your heart, decisions have become. Each and every day, you'll be faced with the decisions to follow no gods or to follow the one true God. Each and every day, you'll be faced with decisions to follow godless people and things or to follow your Heavenly Father and His Word and His will. And every day, throughout the day, you have to decide and declare who and what you will follow. Joshua stated his decision, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. It begins with him. This is an excellent message for Father's Day. Fathers, before ever thinking of leading your family to the Lord, though, and to serve the Lord, have you decided that you personally will serve the Lord, that you'll follow him? How about you mothers, our single parents, you young adults, older adults, middle-agers, youth and children? Before you speak for anyone else, have you decided that you will follow the Lord? The household that Joshua speaks of, yes, it means Joshua and those within his house. And Joshua stated that he has chosen within himself to serve none other but the Lord. But he's also adding to commit himself to set an example, to influencing his spouse and children and relatives, all of his household, to following none but the Lord. Parents, as with yourself, you cannot make anyone else's decision to follow Christ, to serve the Lord, but you can and are supposed to decide yourself to follow the Lord, and you can and you're supposed to do your best to lead and to influence your spouse, your children, your relatives, your household to follow Christ and serving none but the true Lord God. Again, those of your household have to make their own decision to come to Christ and serve him with their lives, and you cannot make the decision for them, but you are responsible to let them see your decision to follow Christ and serve Christ. And you are responsible to lead your household in understanding what it means to know and follow and serve the Lord. And when you have done your best, and none of us are perfect, it is then that every other person in your household has to make their own decision whether to do godless people and things or to follow the Heavenly Father in His word and will. And Christian parents, here's a challenge. Until your child takes their last breath, your job is never finished. You constantly have to pray for them and be that witness to them. I just want to expand a little bit more of the household meaning here. Maybe you are a single parent. You are still a household. And you are responsible for whatever the makeup of your household is, for them to make a decision to follow Christ, and you to be the example to lead them to understanding what that means and looks like. Maybe you're a single adult, or a youth, or a middle ager, or a senior saint. Maybe you don't consider that you have a household at this point, but you live in a house. You have an area where you live. And you're supposed to also say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I just want you to say to one another, get your house in order. Please say that. Get your house in order. So let me ask you, what's your choice? To give your heart, body, and soul to some non-God that gives you nothing, or to choose like Joshua, that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The sad part of the story is this. The people said, oh yeah, we're all in. We're going all the way. We believe that, we're going to do that, and for a while they did. But as a lot of people say, we'll see, right? We'll see. Because later on, Joshua knew his people. That's why he called them to commit, and called them to choose. And following the death of Joshua, each of the tribes of Israel became satisfied with their state and security and failed to continue to choose wisely in the one true God and his word and will. And so they chose poorly. They opened their ways to those of godliness around them, and in so doing became godless themselves again. In so doing, they lost God's favor and blessing and received the losses that such choosing brings. But once again, when people like that cry out with a pure heart and ask God to forgive them, he is faithful. He will forgive and restore and continue to bless again. We make choices every day. What we're going to wear, what we're going to eat, who we're going to associate with, all those choices. And such serious choices are to be taken seriously. For the choices we make will prove to be one where you have chosen poorly or you have chosen wisely. As individual persons, we choose every day who we will follow and serve. As a church, we choose every day who will we follow and serve. Yes, we will stumble sometimes, but remember we have a God who will always be there to love us, forgive us, and restore us if we confess with a pure heart. And also remember that every day, all through the day, we all have choices that we make. To choose wisely to honor Christ in our lives, or to choose poorly and follow false and empty other ways. Each day and all during the day, for you and for your household, it's your choice. Let us pray. Father God, as we have come together before your challenging final words through Joshua, let you help us, Lord, to truly, with pure hearts, choose to follow Jesus. Follow him now and every day of our lives, and should we stumble, to quickly confess, get ourselves back with you and follow again.